Hello everybody, and welcome to episode 252 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Monday, October 26, 2015. I am your host, Mark Kuznez, and I got quite a few things to talk about on today's show. First, I do want to talk about some random nonsense, which is my adventures at Best Buy's, plural. I'm currently in the market for a new phone, and I need one kind of badly, but at the same time, I'm now not in a place to currently get a new phone, and there's been a lot of annoyances with that whole thing, as some of my friends would know, in terms of the number of phones and what phones are actually available for me on my, service provider, with my service provider. For those who don't know, I am on Virgin Mobile, and I love Virgin Mobile as a service. I get great reception wherever I go. I can get really good, solid reception, even when I'm underground on the subway, on the L. So I really like that. The customer service isn't terrible. They're doing the best they can with the information they're given, which is diddly squat. They just don't know anything, which is why if you ask someone working the customer service at Virgin Mobile a question, they'll just basically say, oh, just keep going to the website if you want to learn if we'll get this phone in or that, or if you want to learn or figure out something, just go to the website, just do it yourself, because that's all I can do for you is give you the same information you probably already found, because no one tells me anything. That's annoying, but their phone lineup is not, it's not terrible, but it's not the best. You know, for example, they did get in the iPhone 6S, and they're not the 6S Plus, just the 6S, but they only got it in one color and one size, gold, 16 gigabytes. What are you going to do with that? Shoots 4K, OS takes up 4 gigabytes or so, new live photos. You put on some apps, you take some videos, take some pictures, it's already filled up. And especially if you do put music on there or some other stuff. So, that's not good. But that doesn't really matter. I've been going to Best Buy's looking at phones because I just kind of want to try out the iPhones and some other phones. The Moto X? Moto G? Whatever their like flagship budget phone is that's like 180, I think everywhere else, 150 on Virgin Mobile. I wanted to try that out as well because I wanted to see how that would maybe work for me, you know, because I don't hate Android. I hate all the bloatware and crap these various phone manufacturers put on their phones, like Samsung and what is it, WizKids, I don't know, G-Wiz. I don't like all that, and from what I gathered, the Motorola phones are, for the most part, stock Android. Of course, Virgin Mobile puts their own crap on there, but I don't think Motorola puts anything other than a few of their own branded apps. I don't think they have, like, a skin over the OS, but I'm not sure. I just dabbled with one of the phones, and I was like, this is okay, but there was something about it that bugged me. And I also, I really don't like having a phone unless it's, like so many people will accept bullcrap from Apple. But this budget phone with a built-in battery that I can't remove or change or anything, that's kind of annoying. I didn't like that about the Moto G. Another thing I don't like is that they only sell the 8 gigabyte model on Virgin Mobile, and I don't care about the memory, but the 16-gigabyte model comes with 2 gigs of RAM as opposed to 1 gig of RAM with the 8-gigabyte model, which isn't that important for me because I'm not that concerned with RAM, but for how much the cost difference would be, I'd like that option. I'd like to have the most like future-safe phone that I can for the least amount of money. So I messed around with that phone. I thought about it, but then I really didn't like the way the camera was working. I found it to be fairly poopy. Not bad for the money for a cheaper phone, but not that great either. It's all about pixels, but not really about sharpness or actually getting a good photo, trying to mask that with, oh, we've got 13 megapixels or whatever. But yeah, the size wasn't terrible, but I kind of like smaller phones. And when I was looking at the iPhones, I actually looked at 6 and the 6S and the 6S Plus, 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 and then also the 5S. And I know I'm in the minority, but I really like the size of the 5S. I like 4 inches. I think it's nice because, one, I want something that's really tiny because I don't need a giant screen to play games or videos on, because that's not what I want to do with a phone, in large part because battery life is not good with phones, with most phones. And playing games, watching video, those actions eat up battery life more so than a lot of things. And I also just, I don't, why would I want to watch a video? I definitely wouldn't want to watch anime on a phone. I don't care how big the screen is. Except I think there's like the Sony Xperia Z or something, which is basically like a mini tablet. But I wouldn't want to watch that on a phone screen, even a slightly larger one, because it's all reading. I mean, compacting all of that into a tiny screen would just, I feel like that'd be a nightmare. But yeah, I like the smaller screen. I like the smaller real estate. It takes up less space in my pocket if I were to have one, and it also just feels more comfortable to hold. I'm okay with the 6, but the Plus, that's too big. And I have somewhat larger hands. I have big hands. I don't have Shaquille O'Neal hands, but I have big hands. And the 6 felt fine. It wasn't too bad. But the 6S Plus, well, not, I don't need to, why did I, the stupid S's. The Plus, no, that's kind of just, I don't understand why anyone would want a phone that size. And I guess the argument is, well, if I have a phone this big, then I don't need to have something like the iPad mini. It's my tablet and my phone in one. Well, that sounds like a terrible thing. Why would I want my tablet to be my phone? That means I'm going to be using up, that just means you're probably going to be charging your phone twice a day or something. I don't see the appeal of that. To me, a cell phone is a cell phone first and foremost. What I want out of my cell phone is the ability to make calls, the ability to send text messages, and the ability to check on basic information and get notifications or whatever from things that are important or relevant to my work, like email, Twitter, Facebook even, Instagram, stuff like that. That's also why I don't really care a bunch about memory. I don't need to fill my phone up with a bunch of apps, games, and stuff like that, or videos, or even music. I definitely don't feel the need to stream stuff, which is another reason why I think battery life, for the most part, is not always the biggest problem with me. But I'm still, that's the one thing I hate about every bit of technology, is just battery life should not still be a problem. Not to this degree, but nobody gives a shit about creating better batteries, which sucks. Let's all stop increasing the power of tech and increase the power of batteries instead. Huh? That would be nice. But yeah, I really like the 5S. That was my favorite of the bunch. And the only reason why the 6S is an appealing phone to me, the reason why I kind of wanted to get that, and I probably would have purchase one if they had the 64 gigabyte model available right away at Virgin Mobile, is because it's the first jump in RAM in I don't know how many years. So it's been a gig of RAM for a while now, and they finally upped it to 2, and that's kind of the only reason. I mean, the camera was improved a bit, but it was really just more of a megapixel thing. It doesn't make the camera that much better, and I don't care about 4K, not really. I'm not going to be shooting videos. I don't really care about slow motion videos. So for me, the camera in the 5S, the 6 is perfectly fine for Instagram and what I would use it for. So yeah, I really like the 5S. And I've always liked that form factor, that more boxy look. The more curviness of the 6 and 6S, which is kind of reminiscent of the, I guess, original iPhones, if I'm remembering correctly, but reminds me more of the original iPod Touches because they were a bit thinner, I think. And that's what it reminds me of, which were fine, but I never loved that design. I thought it was just a bit kind of, I don't know, childish in a way. Also, it's a bit slippery. I definitely feel much more comfortable holding a 5S than the 6 or 6 Plus. It just feels less like it's going to come out of my hands. And I'm not a huge fan of cases. So that's another reason why I think the 5S is a more desirable machine. And speaking of Best Buy, well, one, now every time I go and look at the phones, I just go to the podcast app and I subscribe to the Pixelated Sausage Podcast and Pixelated Radio. And if y'all are ever in a Best Buy or anywhere that has iPhones and iPod Touches and iThings readily available to mess around with, you should do the same. Spread the word in that stupid way. Because people actually don't ever listen to that thing. It does nothing. It might give me an extra download, but nothing more than that. So it's inevitably just worthless and a waste of time. But it won't take that much time. But Best Buy. I was at one of my localish Best Buys. Not that local, but it's local enough. And I was looking at stuff, and then I picked up some PSN crap because I needed that. That's something I couldn't go without getting. I was a bit taken aback by the prettiness of the young lady working at the cash register. And I'm not sure, it almost seemed like maybe she was a new hire and that she just started working there and that there was like still teaching her, maybe, I don't know. But all I know is that I was a bit taken aback. I was like, she's super pretty. And I kind of didn't even want to look at her. I was just like, I don't know how to handle someone this pretty working at Best Buy. This is weird to me. This is weird. She was very, very pretty. Very pretty. Lady at work. Lady working at Best Buy. You pretty. You so pretty. But yeah. So, why don't I get on to the actual show? Because I've just gone on an incredibly long tangent about phones and Best Buy. And because I didn't take a picture of, I wasn't like, hey, you're so pretty, let me take a picture so I can post it on the internet and tell everyone you're pretty. There's no proof that there's actually a pretty lady working at Best Buy, other than my saying there is. So believe me, witness me and me saying that there's a pretty lady working at a Best Buy. I won't even tell you which Best Buy, just that there is a Best Buy and there's a lady working at one. And this lady is very pretty. And she's a younger lady. Not that older ladies can't be pretty, too. Blood Bowl! I played more Blood Bowl. Been playing more Blood Bowl. I've been actually playing. So I have more than one Xbox account for not being bugged when doing certain things. But anyway, Blood Bowl 2. Played a good chunk more of it. And yeah, I have some opinions, and those opinions are thus. I really like the game. I do think the loading times may have been, they're still pretty bad, but I think they might not be as bad as they were when the game launched on Xbox One. I'm playing on Xbox One, so keep that in mind. But I really like the game. There are things that I wish it would do more of, but for the most part, I really like it. And I'm genuinely not surprised, but just I'm, as someone who tried to play Blood Bowl 1 and failed, I am super happy to have been able to really get into Blood Bowl 2 and not have many problems or anything, because Part of the problem with Blood Bowl, the first one, was that it didn't really have much of a tutorial at all. I don't remember there being one. I think it just kind of threw you in. It was just like, here, it's your daddy, and it throws you into the deep end without any life jacket or whatnot, floaters, nothing. Just throws you right into the deep end, and it's just like, learn how to swim or you're going to drown. And he's not even standing there to grab you if you start to drown or don't even flail anymore and are just at the bottom of it, slowly drowning to death. But in Blood Bowl 2, they have quite the tutorial. In fact, they might have too much of a tutorial in the campaign, which really kind of drips things out, and sometimes to an annoying degree, in that they will lock out kind of like rules to the actual game and certain mechanics that take part in every match going on forward. In the first few matches, they won't have a certain function actually working. And then they introduce it, and I'm kind of stuck thinking to myself, why didn't you just have that in the game the whole time, since that's prevalent in the game in all other respects? Why introduce me to your game with something so basic and not crucial to extent, but something that is just a basic part of the game? Why take that out for the first few matches? So that was kind of annoying. But overall, the tutorial does a really good job of guiding you along without doing everything for you and also not overwhelming you at the same time. So I really like the way the campaign is set up in that way. And also having the whole story and these commentators giving you their random bits of nonsense and stories is really fun. The voice acting is great. The visuals are really good. And yeah, that's all a welcome addition to the game, to the franchise, because the first game was just kind of, hey, we made a game. We're not going to really tell you how to play it. You just figure it out on your own. We don't want to mess with that crap. They actually went way, way, way out of their way to make sure y'all understand how the game works. So that's nice. But the heart of the game really is in the multiplayer. It's all about the multiplayer. Single player is fine and all. The campaign is an enjoyable romp with a surprisingly engaging story that's rather interesting and just kind of goofy and silly and works well in a sports game and is something rarely seen in sports games in general. But it's all about the multiplayer, partially because the AI is not the smartest. It's kind of one note, but also just because it's a lot more fun to play against real people. And also, one of the most annoying parts about playing against a computer is that it takes place over, I think, 16 rounds, so split up into 8 rounds. I think I talked about this last time I talked about the game. And you can get to a point in a game, in a match, where there is no way the computer could ever possibly catch up and win the game. And there is the ability to concede a match, to forfeit. You can do that and start over. When you're playing multiplayer, the other person or you can do that if you can tell there's no way you can win or they can win. But the computer never does this. Even when it is so incredibly clear that they have no chance. Because there are points. You will come to points in games where if you have dominated well enough and if you've done good enough in the game, there's just in the match, there's just nothing the other person, your opponent, computer, or living can do. It's just nothing. There's nothing they can do. But if you're playing against a computer and you're in this situation, you're just stuck playing the rest of the game out. And it becomes incredibly tedious because you just want to finish the game. You just want to get your win and move on to the next opponent, move on to the next match. But you can't because you have to go through all these various rounds still. And that's super annoying because when that's the case, the game's no longer fun. It's not fun to just basically slowly make your way to the inevitable victory or defeat, even if you can tell, I mean, if you could tell that you're being defeated, then you would just concede yourself. But having to slog through the rest of a match and just play it out, I mean, you can play it to, I guess, increase your stats and earn more XP and stuff like that, but I don't find that fun. I don't find it fun to continue playing just for the potential of getting some more XP and stuff like that. I don't want to do that. I just want to get my win and move on to the next opponent. 'Cause at that point I'm just sort of exhausted of, I don't know. It's just super annoying to know victories inevitable. You just have to slog through and just drag your feet through the rest of the match. And even if you try to maybe speed things up by ending your turn, the second you it transitions between turns, it still is too damn long to sit around and watch the computer do all its moves. But so far, well, not so far. I mean, I've played plenty of it now. That's always annoying. I don't like that. I wish the computer was smart enough to know it's been defeated and quit. And that's not something you have to worry about when you're playing against humans. Another reason why the multiplayer is so good, because if you're whooping the butt of another person, they can just be like, you know what? I can't win. Let's just end this match and we can play another one, or we can go our separate ways and find opponents who are better suited for our individual skill levels. So I really like that. But it's just fun to play. I mean, sports games in general are usually best when playing them against other people, and that's the case here. There's also, I mean, you have leagues and all that stuff. Another feature I really like about the game is the Cabal TV, which is basically like the built-in Twitch-esque platform for the game alone, where you can watch old matches, and you know, you can learn some strategies from that, or just enjoy watching two people play against each other, because it is fun to watch. Or you can watch live matches as well, which is cool for the same reason. But I like that it works well. I don't know if I can't remember if you get notified if somebody's watching your game or not, but I really like that, just having that feature, because in a sports game and a strategy game, it's good to watch other players and see how they play, especially with various teams, and having the different teams have different play styles that work better for them because they have different types of players, and their base stats for players are different as well. But yeah, the one thing I feel like I need to point out as I end this little review is that I think there are people who will get confused, or they will look at the game and immediately think, oh, this must be an action game. This must be like Mutant League Football. I can't wait to play it and get super crazy in it. Or they'll think it's like NFL Blitz or something. That is not what this game is. This is not a action real-time sports game. This is a turn-based strategy game. This is not a game like Madden where you are the player. This is a turn-based strategy game where you are the coach. So if you want to be the player in a sports game, this is not the game for you. Get away from Blood Bowl 2 because you're not going to enjoy it. If you're somebody who wants to take over the role of a coach and tell your players what to do and think about what you're doing and come up with plays in a sense and stuff like that, Blood Bowl 2 is fantastic. It's super fun because you get all that strategic element of being the coach while also getting to watch the game, which I don't remember if the NFL head coach, which I think there was only one of those, I don't remember if you could actually watch the game or you could just be like, here, do these plays. I can't remember how that worked, but this is a coach's game, not a player's game. And that's something that is important to remember, because if you go into this expecting to play the game real time and all that, you're going to be so disappointed. But if you're somebody who wants a real strategy game, because there's definitely a strategy that goes into it, though there's a lot that is affected by dice rolls, which can be annoying for some. So if you don't like dice rolls, then you might want to stay away. But that's another reason why multiplayer is better than the AI, than playing against the AI, because you never feel like, oh, the computer's just getting all the right dice rolls. I mean, you're both human, so why would the computer be more favorable towards another human player? So you can't really bitch about that. I mean, you can, but it would be dumb to do so. But yeah, I really like Blood Bowl 2. I just wish that the loading wasn't so bad. I wish the computer conceded. I also wish that there was a bit more customizable options in terms of creating your team and stuff like that, and creating leagues. Because you can only create teams that are of a single race. You can't mix and match. So there are, I think, 8 different races. You have humans, you have orcs, high elves, dark elves, dwarves, the Skaven, which are giant rat men, Brentonians, which I think are like royalty humans, and then you have your Chaos, which are basically Minotaurs. And you can't create a team that is full of a whole bunch of different races, which kind of sucks, because each race has its own benefits and downfalls. That they have their positives and they have their negatives, but you are stuck with a single race when you create a team or use a team, which sucks. I mean, if the option is available to mix and match, I haven't found it, but that would be a nice feature to have. And also, just in customizing characters and players, you don't have many options in terms of the number of faces and being able to actually customize the faces or the bodies. You really just are able to change between a limited, in some cases very limited, number of different faces for players, and then their name, and that's it. You get some you don't really get much more with your team creation. You get to change the color of the outfits and the emblem, which you can't even adjust the color of that. It's not affected by the color of the outfits either, so that's weird. But you can change the color of the outfits, the emblem, and I think that's it as well. So I would love it if Blood Bowl 3, if that comes out ever, if that does become a thing, that we get a bit more, a lot more options in terms of the customizing of characters and teams and everything. But yeah, Blood Bowl 2 is definitely worth checking out if you are looking for a sports game that is heavily based upon strategy and not fast action, because you won't get fast action with it. And then I played a bit of Halo, still playing Combat Evolved, and I went back from playing for a while in the game's original Halo Combat Evolved in the original graphics, and I jumped to the new HD fancy graphics on mission, I think, 5, where you're going after, what is it, Sergeant Keys, and you start off in the jungle, and I was like, damn, this is a good-looking game. And I know it doesn't compete with games that have been made from the ground up for the current platforms, but for a game that's, almost 15 years old or something at this point, they really did a lot of work in making it look really, really good, especially in that jungle area. I was kind of blown away. And this is what I think would be... this is what I would want out of pretty much all HD remakes for significantly older games. Like, if they ever actually did a remake of Deus Ex, the first one, God, this is what I want visually. I know they came out with that mod or whatever, that fan-made mod, which I think doesn't, it improves the visuals, but not to that significant of a degree from what I've been told and what I've heard. But yeah, the game just looks great. But the story, I've talked about it on Pixelated Radio yesterday. I don't get where the love comes from because I don't get much of a story, and what story I get, I just don't care about. But that doesn't matter because the game's super fun, though I've gotten to the flood in the library and I'm like, oh, I remember this being so terrible, and it's still terrible, and it's still terrible. The flood is annoying. There's somewhat of an interesting enemy, but the way they have them implemented is just annoying. Just annoying. These stupid walking blobs of explosive crap. Get out of my face. I don't like you. Where's all my ammo? You're making me use all my ammo, and there's not that much lying around. You suck. I hate you. But Halo, it's fun. And it looks really, really pretty. Super pretty. Runs really well. I like it. I don't know if the multiplayer in the Master Chief Collection works now on a regular basis, but that never mattered to me because all I ever cared about was the single player. Also, I think it's funny just as I play more, it's like, oh, Bungie didn't really want to leave Microsoft to do anything new or original. Not really. They just wanted to do more of the same crap, but not under Microsoft. Because I was introduced to 343 Guilty Spark, which I completely forgot about that character, and I'm like, oh, this is the original form of Ghost. Hey, Ghost version 1.0, how you doing? You have a better voice than either of the voices in Destiny for Ghost, because Dinklebot was whatever, and Nathan Drake bot, whatever. I don't really like either voice in Destiny, but Guilty Spark, you sound good. But yeah, and then I also played a few hours of System Shock Enhanced Edition, and this is a not so much a remake, it's just kind of a hey, we're going to re-release this game with a higher resolution and upgraded visuals slightly, but not super upgraded, just kind of making everything sharper, and we're gonna make it so the game run smoothly on all the current systems and OSs, and there you go. And that's what it is. It's not a drastic change from the original, which is great for people who love the original, but the problem with System Shock Enhanced Edition is that, one, if you're a newer gamer, if you're somebody who doesn't have any nostalgic feeling for the series or for games from back then, you're not gonna like it. The controls are clunky because they were clunky back then and they haven't been changed. Not really. Not in any good ways. Visually, it isn't a huge step up. And I don't think there's any way to natively, without going into files, play it in windowed mode. It didn't seem like, which is annoying. I would want to play it in a windowed mode. And it's just like the hit detection in terms of having to click on certain areas, it seems very, very nitpicky, which is annoying. It requires stupid amount of precision that, and it's not precision required because it's a super fast, twitchy game. It's just, oh, the hitbox for this or where it will recognize you clicking is so tiny that you have to hit it specifically in this part, and it's just, ugh, not fun in that sense. But I mean, if you loved System Shock when it first came out and you want to go back to it, it runs and it runs well. It looks good enough. Well, it looks like it did before, but just the resolution and the sharpness they added does a good enough job of being like, oh, this is exactly how I remember, but it's not funky and blurry and muddy and stuff like that. But it's just, there isn't a huge market for something like this because it is a game stuck in its time. They didn't go to any lengths to make it more contemporary or to just
make it something that is more current. And I'm sure to people who love the game and the franchise are like happy about that because they don't want people messing with the formula and all that. But it means the game is really only meant for people who have that affinity for the game when it originally came out, or people who really love that era of gaming and like going back to it. And anyone else, they just have no reason to ever touch the game because it's not going to feel good. Because, like I said, the controls are clunky and not great. The game does not feel great to play. It feels bad. I did not enjoy playing it. But like the story and stuff like that is still the same great, interesting little story. So there's that at least. But for anyone who's never experienced the story, it's not really worth going back to because it feels crappy. But that's pretty much it game-wise. So,
Insane Ninja!
Shing. Anime. I finally started watching Beck Mongolian Chop Squad, which is an anime about music and whatnot. And I've always heard so many great things about it. It's over 10 years old, I think, at this point. And I'm halfway through, watched 13 episodes, and I've got really, really, really mixed feelings about it. And it's all because of one specific thing. And this is something that I don't think I've ever found an anime that doesn't do this poorly. I don't think there's any anime I can think of, at least off the top of my head, that does this successfully. And that is having characters speak in English and not sound like crap and not sound like horrible, just broken ass English nonsense. And it's so much worse when a character is American and they don't get an American to do the English voice acting. It just sounds awful. And every time any character in Beck talks and speaks in English, it just sounds terrible. It's the worst. It's so hard to listen to because they sound like garbage. And some of them are so much worse to take in than others because you're like, you're American. You're supposed to be an American person whose native language is English, who doesn't even speak Japanese, and yet you are clearly a Japanese person who speaks Japanese first, speaking in English, and you sound awful. This is, it is really, really bad. And there's not a single character in Beck that doesn't sound bad. I'd probably say that maybe Maho sounds the least terrible of the bunch. But like even your main person, like Ryusuke, even he sounds pretty kind of robotic, or like just kind of hitchy. But like that, whenever that happens, terrible. The singing in English isn't bad because I don't know. I think just when people sing, it's hard to like not sound terrible. Maybe, I don't know. That doesn't really make any sense. Because a lot of people singing does sound terrible. But other than that, the show I really like. The characters are all... There's a lot of different characters. Some of the designs are weird. There's this one friend. So you have your main character, Koyuki, who's a 14-year-old. And is kind of... Well, he's not kind of. He's incredibly naive and stupid and gullible. And just... There's so many times when I'm like, you idiot, what's wrong with you? But he's a pretty good singer. The one problem I have with him, though, is that whenever he does sing and people are, like, losing their mind, like, oh, my God, we're going to make it big because of him. I can already tell right away that he's something special. I'm like, he's pretty good, but I don't see where you come off acting like he's the next Freddie Mercury or something ridiculous like that. He's a pretty good singer, but he's not some mind-blowing, amazing vocalist. Or maybe he is in terms of Japanese people singing in English. I don't know. Doesn't blow me away at all. He's better with certain songs, too. What is the name of the band in there? The song about Moon Sway and everything. His rendition of that is quite good. But he's so stupid and gullible. I don't even remember where I was going anymore. But I like the characters. And I remember. A character who's not that significant in the show so far, at least. He was in the beginning and then showed up again in this last few episodes when they did like a contest for a band at school. One of Koyuki's friends looks so weird because he looks super old. He has gray hairs. He has basically like gray sides to his hair, and he kind of looks old in the face as well. He's also incredibly annoying, so I'm glad he's not in the show. But yeah, that's weird. There's some weird choices with character designs as well. There's this swimming guy who teaches Koyuki how to play the guitar and also teaches him swimming because he was like in the Olympics or crap like that. And he's like this jolly looking older chubby just dude. And then when he takes his shirt off, he's like the most ripped, buff, scary, crazy person ever. And it's like, what? How, where was he hiding all those abs and everything? Don't get that. That's weird. But yeah, I don't know. The English stuff really bothers me. But I enjoy the way it handles music and just showing band life and all that. I'm a huge musician fan. Oh, I'm a huge musician, a huge fan of music. I like it. It's good. It's not anything amazing. Well, I think I would probably like it a lot more if not for the terrible English. Because it kind of just reminds me of terrible dubbing. And I hate dubbing. That's why I watch everything subtitled. Because I don't think most dubs, I don't think I've come across a dub that I really, really like. So these just sound like the worst dubs in the world. And it's a nightmare. It's so bad. Oh, God. And whenever just thinking about it right now and thinking about the characters who are actually American that sound like Japanese people trying to speak English, it's just like, really? Come on. Come on. But, yeah. It's good. It's a good show. Good show about music. That's on Funimation. And then some of the seasonal anime I'll hit real quick. Comet Lucifer, whatever. It's garbage, along with Concrete Revolutio. Those two shows, I don't really care about. I'm done with them, I think. Well, I'll keep watching them, but they're just utter nonsense, both of them. They're really colorful, they're pretty to look at, but just a bunch of crazy stuff going on. Concrete Revolutio just seems to be introducing new characters each and every episode. And just like, well, what is this split up into two seasons and then like two parts of a longer season? Because with a 13, if this is really just 13 episodes, you're taking your sweet ass time to reveal what's going on and all these different characters and crap. It's like Ocean's 11, where they take an entire episode to introduce a new character, and then they'll have a handful of episodes at the end to wrap everything up, and it's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be a disaster. And then with Comet Lucifer, I just don't understand what's going on. I feel like they add these heavy moments or try to act like there's this grand story going on, but then they just act goofy for the entire episode. There's like an entire Mary Poppins Fantasia scene in here where the whatever girl is magically making vegetables dance along with music in the air. It's like, what is this crap? This is nonsense. I don't understand what's going on in this story, this world anymore. I don't see what the overarching plot is or anything. It's just like nonsense. Whatever, she was kidnapped. Okay, now you go rescue her. Whoop-de-doo. Don't even care, because I don't care about her because she's annoying anyway. She's stupid and selfish, and I don't like her. Noragami Aragato. Really, really, really good. And it's super heavy this season so far. It's not as lighthearted as it could be in the first season. It's so far just been really just gut-punching from start to finish, pretty much. There have been some funny elements in the very beginning of this season, but for the most part, it's been a very, very heavy emotional roller coaster ride, and I'm really enjoying it. And I just want more. Every time I finish an episode, I'm like, oh God, I have to wait another week now. And yeah, really, really enjoying that. So I highly recommend checking that out. That's on Funimation. So you can catch up with the first season right now and then catch up with where it's at currently in the second season. Ushio Totora, that's in a serious moment. It's having a serious moment and it's handling it quite well. And where it left off last episode with Ushio is the boy, right? And Tora is the monster, I think. Ushio becoming a monster himself and they're trying to save him, which of course they will, because the show would just not exist anymore if he suddenly became a monster. That is really good. It continues to be a really, really, really good show. It'll probably end up being one of my favorite shows of the 2015 seasons. One of my best shows of the year, along with stuff like Food Wars. So that's been just a fantastic ride this entire year so far. Then there's Lance and Mass, which... Lance and Mass is a great show for kids. If you have kids and you want to have them, you want to introduce them to anime, or you just want a family-friendly, kid-friendly show, give them Lance and Mass. And it's basically Zorro for kids. And I kind of find something charming about that. But if you're somebody who wants something a bit more serious or a bit more adult, then don't even bother, because you're going to hate the show so much. I kind of find it a bit cute and whatever. It's like, oh, I can take you every week. I wouldn't probably be able to watch it, or I wouldn't want to watch it in bulk. But an episode every week is fine by me. And then there's also Brave Beats, which is great for kids and great for anyone who enjoys nonsense, because it's just a show about breakdancing robots and jive moving bunny alien things. Well, not a bunny. Oh, that's a spoiler. Yeah, the bunny wasn't a bunny. It's actually a bear that's self-conscious about its small ears. So it wears a hoodie that's like a bunny, so that people think it's a bunny because whatever. And then it attaches to a girl and becomes this dancing woman, and they take down these other dancing people. Because it's a show about dancing and dance battles, and it's ridiculous, and I enjoy it because it's that ridiculous. In the second episode, there was a dancing dinosaur, which I don't know if I ever talked about. And then Utaware Rumano. I like it. I'm just like, what is going on? I'm waiting for things to be revealed. I'm still, after four episodes, waiting for the big reveal, the big kind of, oh, snap moment. And that hasn't come yet. I know it's a 26 episode series. It's definitely 20 whatever, however many episodes they've, 25, 24, 26. So I know that they have plenty of time to reveal everything. But I hope we get some answers soon, because I'm just wondering what's going on with that main dude. But that's pretty much it, anime-wise. Kind of lost steam near the end, man. I'm tired, I'm thirsty. And I think that's going to do it for this here episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I hope y'all enjoy the show. And I've had a lovely Monday so far, wherever you are. If you're down south, I hope you are staying dry, you haven't had to deal with any flooding or anything like that, and stayed safe, depending on how bad the weather has been around you, wherever you are in the world. If you live somewhere, some other country where the weather has been rotten, I hope y'all are doing fine and dandy right now. So that's going to do it. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Xbox Live, at P PX Sausage. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. I'm also on PSN, the Kush 3. That is the KUSH number 3. Which I hope to gather. Let us change that soon. The other podcast I do, which we recorded yesterday, Pixelated Radio, was all about video games, and you should definitely check it out. Yesterday's episode was a classic twofer with just me and Rob, which means it was really just awful and nonsense and just wonderful as well. It's awfully wonderful. Definitely check that out. And if you are still itching for some gaming podcast nonsense, you should check out the Signed In Podcast. That's signedinpodcast.com. And if you are into racing, check out Sports Car Unleashed at scunleashed.com. And if you're into nonsense, check out the Undercover Unitards Podcast at undercoverunitards.com. Of course, for all the podcasts, especially the Pixelated Sausage ones, if you haven't already, it would be greatly appreciated if you went to iTunes and rated, reviewed, subscribed to the shows, or did the same on other platforms like Stitcher Radio, which you can also find the show at, or whatever, you know, put it in your RSS feed, do what you want, tell your friends about the show. All that would be really appreciated. If you're ever in a Best Buy, go on all the iPhones and subscribe to the show there too. Well, that's going to do it. There's something else I kind of wanted to talk about at the very end that I was thinking of. I think I may, in the very soon future, mess around with the idea of periscoping live bits of art and sketching and stuff like that. So if that sounds interesting to you, let me know, and I'll probably do it either way. But keep your eyes open. Especially follow me on Twitter for that. Of course, you can also email the show or comment on the show, on the post, email the show, psp@pixelatedsausage.com, or leave a voicemail if you're super crazy and ridiculous, 312-772-5874. I keep getting calls, but no one leaves voicemails, which is annoying. I don't know what you're doing. And that's going to do it for this air episode. So everyone have a lovely rest of your day. Bye-bye!